The hit movie The Martian has put the red planet back in the spotlight. You could say Mars is getting almost as much attention as it did back in August 2012 when the rover Curiosity was lowered onto Mars by a sky crane, a device dreamed up by the engineers at the Jet Propulsion Laboratory in Pasadena, California. JPL engineer Adam Steltzner headed up the team in charge of the entry, descent, and landing of the Curiosity rover. He writes about it in his new book, The Right Kind of Crazy: A True Story of Teamwork, Leadership, and High Stakes Innovation. He joins us from Pasadena to talk about it. Adam Steltzner, welcome.
Thank you, Jeremy. Thank you for having me.
You described this incredible situation where the spacecraft is on the way to Mars, and then you and the team figure out that there's a tiny little mathematical error that might completely botch up the entire landing. How do you deal with that?
Well, that is, of course, a slightly anxiety-provoking thing to find. When a vehicle is hurtling towards Mars at thousands of miles an hour, the idea of updating its software itself holds risk. And so we had to ask the question, is it more risky to update the software or not to update the software and live with this error that we had found? And we did work on simulations to see what the error would do, and we couldn't find anything in our simulations that said the error was deadly. But some of us were concerned that our simulations weren't all-knowing. And so in the end, we chose to balance that risk by making the change.
And not everybody was on board with that.
No. In fact, almost uniformly, my team was not up for it. But I felt strongly that we should. And even the project management team was divided. But the chief engineer, Rob Manning, and the deputy project manager, Richard Cook, and myself felt strongly that we should. And the project manager, Pete Teisinger, considered it and made the call to go with doing the change.
And spoiler alert, you were right.
Well, I can't tell you whether I'm right or not. I can't tell you whether it would have worked without the change
or
not.
But it did work with the change.
It did work with the change, and we didn't mess up our flight software by making the change. I can say that.
Well, it's interesting to think about this because as we're reading your book, one of the things that you notice right away is that I would think that your full attention would be on the science and the engineering and figuring out how to do this, but clearly, one of the big parts of it is just being able to manage a team, being able to manage what you're doing, knowing about leadership and all of that.
Well, you know, when we think about it, almost all the great works of humankind are done in teams. And the product of the team, the quality of the work really reflects the capabilities of the team and their teamwork. So in the end, it's all about the people.
Well, doing what you were doing in entry, descent, and landing taught you a lot about how to manage a team. And one of my favorite concepts that you talk about in the book was hold on to the doubt. Explain that. Why is that so important? What is that and why is it so important?
Well, very frequently when we're faced with an open question, the open question is anxiety provoking. And specifically, we can rush in to answer it because we don't want to be in the presence of this open question. That can really result in fear-based decision-making, where you want to make a decision fast because you don't really want to hold the fearful open question in your hand. And I am a proponent of curiosity-based decision-making, which is kind of the antithesis of it. That's if you can hold on to the doubt and let the open question help reveal the answer. I think, at least in my experience, frequently, the decisions you come to, the designs and solutions you come to are superior to those that you rush into.
So give me an example of that.
Well, a fantastic example is the sky crane itself. We put the Curiosity rover on the surface of Mars with this kind of crazy looking behavior where we lowered the rover below a jet backpack and settled it on the surface of Mars. A progenitor of that idea had been in circulation for almost a decade, but we had rushed in with an answer that it wouldn't work, and we hadn't sit beside that open question and developed it enough to come up with the idea of the sky crane. It wasn't until we had exhausted the other paths that we came back into a brainstorming session and sat with it long enough to come up with this technique that ultimately proved to be very robust at getting this huge rover on the surface of Mars.
What would have happened if Curiosity got a flat?
You mean while she's driving around on the surface of Mars?
Yeah. What do you do about that?
Well, we make our wheels out of aluminum, so they don't carry air and they don't go flat, although they do get punctures, and we have punctures on our tires. We landed in a spot on Mars that has more sharp rocks than we, any of our scientists, any of us, ever expected to see concentrated in a single location. And so we've been driving over these very, very sharp rocks for a long time, and we've punctured some holes in our tires. Now, thankfully, they're made out of aluminum, and they keep on going.
We're speaking with Adam Steltzner, an engineer at the Jet Propulsion Laboratory. His new book is called The Right Kind of Crazy, a true story of teamwork, leadership, and high-stakes innovation. And I have to ask you, because here we are just waiting for the Oscar nominations and after the Golden Globes, have you seen the movie The Martian?
I absolutely have. I've read the book and seen the movie, and I loved both.
Do you think that that is a realistic depiction of Mars?
You know, there were a couple of items that were taken for dramatic purposes, and I have absolutely no beef with that. But by and large, it was a very accurate depiction of some of the engineering elements and some of the challenges that somebody on Mars would have.
And when you see a film like that, and a lot of people have seen it, and it's, you know, we've got Matt Damon there actually on the surface of Mars, and he gets stranded there. Do you think it makes sense to send humans there, or do you think we can learn just as much by having robots there as you have been involved with?
Right. We explore for a variety of reasons. One of the reasons we explore is to get answers to scientific questions, and our robots do a pretty good job at that. But I think one of the best reasons we explore is as a gesture of our humanity. That's part of the reason that we put robots on the other on other planets and other places in our solar system. And it's one of the reasons that human beings should be involved in exploration. It's expensive, it's risky, and when the national will is there, it has been an incredible, powerful gesture of our humanity, both within this nation and across the world. And so I hope that human beings will continue to explore, including eventually to the surface of Mars.
Are we doing enough of it right now, though? It does seem like the move is not just toward robots, but also toward the private industry taking over a lot of what NASA has done in the past.
Yes, private industry is breathing new life into civil space, and I love it. I think that there's a lot of ambitions in the privateers for expeditions, including human expeditions, to the surface of Mars. So I can't look into the crystal ball. I don't have a good crystal ball for the future, but I certainly hope that in my career time we will see a human expedition to the surface of Mars.
One of the people that you mention in this book is somebody that gets mentioned a lot by people who go on and do what you do as the person who inspired them, and that would be the late Carl Sagan. What is it about Carl Sagan that you think inspired you and so many others?
Carl was, to my experience, the first one who connected with the wonder of our solar system, space, our universe. He was able to share his own wonder and connect it. Billions and billions and billions. That idea of the enormity of space, of it being filled with stars, of the very great likelihood that those stars, some of those stars had planets. We now know that to be the case from the Kepler mission. That really hooked me in and helped me connect with my wonder about my universe.
And who's doing that now?
Oh, we're doing it in a variety of ways. I think Curiosity, our big rover, is doing it on the surface of Mars. She sends back images day after day of that are wondrous, that are beautiful, incredible vistas of an alien world. That connects with the wonder of our youth and our world, as does the data from the Kepler instrument, which is the project, which is looking for exoplanets and finding them at an amazing rate. So NASA's doing it in a variety of ways.
Well, what about you? What do you want to do to inspire others?
That's a great one. Well, the book is part of that. I'd like to put a lander on the surface of Europa. I'm not a exobiologist.
It's one of Jupiter's moons, right?
Right. Europa, the ice moon of Jupiter, which has a thick ice crust. We don't know how thick. Maybe it's 1 kilometer. Maybe it's 40 kilometers thick. And then we believe it's got a liquid water ocean greater than the sum of all the oceans on the world times two. And my exobiologist friends tell me that that's the spot in the solar system that they think is most likely to have life existing today. And that question about, are we alone? Are we alone in our solar system? Are we alone in our universe? Is a profound human question. And I think one of the tasks of exploration is to help answer that question.
Adam Stelzner's new book is called The Right Kind of Crazy, a true story of teamwork, leadership, and high stakes innovation. It's out this week. Adam, thank you for joining us.
Oh, thank you for having me, Jeremy.